But I went up to the hospital to see Brother Sonny Daniels, his daughter, Sister Glenda Swearingen. And, you know, they had, she had a cancer in her sinus. The sinuses went, and they did surgery on her and took it out. But after she went home, the cancer very aggressively came back, and she's got it all through her brain and in her lungs. And the doctors say tomorrow they run some tests on her. Tomorrow they're gonna decide if they're gonna do any radiation. They said the radiation's not gonna do anything, but hopefully maybe reduce the swelling some to help with some of the pain, because there's so much pressure on the brain with the tumor that she's really in a lot of pain. So, but I did go in and see her, Brother Green and I, and she recognized me and talked to me a little bit, and we had prayer with her. And I told her we'd have special prayer for her tonight. I told Brother Green when we came out of there, I said, we think we've got problems, but here's a lady that's got cancer all through the brain. She still can function as far as knowing things, but she's already lost use of her right arm, right leg, and in severe pain. She said her eyeballs are going to pop out, and she feels like somebody's, like an ice pick is in her, one of her ears, piercing her. So she's really in pain, and so let's all stand and just have special prayer for this need right here, right now, and ask God. We need a miracle. She's been the song leader for many years, song player, music, piano player in the Poto Church, and been very faithful there under Brother Sonny Daniels' ministry. And so let's pray for them here. Dear God, oh, precious Savior, dear Lord and Savior. Oh, God, I know you're aware of this need, Jesus. Oh, Lamb of God, would you touch our sister tonight, Lord? God, lift her up out of this situation and heal her tonight. Oh, God. Oh, precious Lord, our shield and buckler. Oh, hallelujah. You're the strength, O God, of our lives, the source of life. Our dependence is on you, Jesus. O Lamb of God. O precious Lord. God, comfort this family. Touch Brother and Sister Daniels, her children, O God. Help them, O God, Lord, through this situation. Let your glory be seen. God, manifest yourself in this in some way that others might see and know and taste that you are good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we give you praise tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for your goodness. God, to be able to come to you boldly and request our needs, our petitions, Jesus. We're thankful, Lord. We know you have this world, oh God, in your hands, oh God, and that you're all-knowing God and all wisdom. We trust you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your wonderful name, Lord. Amen, amen. All right, praise God. Let's just worship him tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Jesus.
and Brother Green have a, we have a song we sing together. I don't remember it, Brother Green, but once we get started, I'll...
His own? Yes. Yeah. Say,
sometimes it's hard to see
where I'm going. Circumstances has blinded my eyes. Sometimes things seem to get worse.
And I don't know where else to turn.
In His time, I'm gonna make it. The Lord will see me through. In the good and the bad, He makes my heart glad. In His time, I will shine. He is moving perfection
in His own and simple way.
He's tasting me with His presence, and I'm His diamond cut of the day. In His time, I'm gonna make it. The Lord will see me through. In the good and the bad, He makes my heart glad. He's a King of kings. He reigns forevermore. In His time, I will shine. In His time, I'm gonna make it. The Lord will see me through. In the good and the bad, He makes my heart glad. He's the King of kings. He's just in His word, a two-edged sword. In His time, I will shine. In His time, I will shine.
You ever heard anything like that before?
Wait, Brother Green, come back up here. He's used to be in the Dominican Republic. He does that. He gets me up behind the pulpit, then he runs off and leaves me to speak in Spanish, which I can't do very good. And then I have to get him back up there to help me out. But in the Dominican Republic, we're a team, because I preach and he interprets what I'm saying. At first, when we started doing that, I didn't know if he was telling people what I was saying right or not, but now I can tell enough about Spanish to know if he's telling it right. So anyway, I appreciate his ministry. He is a good interpreter. When we get working over there together, and the Spirit gets to working with us. But he gets tickled at me sometimes because we get anointed, and I'm like a horse. I'm running and I'm going with the message, and he gets, you know, he gets to thinking about what we're saying, and he gets all choked up, and he quits on me. He can't talk no more, and there I am, you know, just shaking in my boots, waiting on him to come on and help me. Anyway,
I was thinking about it like, you know, when you're crossing the river on a horse, and you're right there, and the horse just stay right in the river and probably drinking water, and you say, come on, I want to go.
You tell it.
We've had some good times in the Lord. We serve in a great God. Hallelujah. Appreciate God so much. I thought you was going to take the microphone away from me. Anyway. We're serving a great God. I appreciate God for, you know, for all the things he has done, you know, for me. And I have a testimony. And Brother Smith said, like, that verse in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and said, and they overcame by the words of their testimony. You know, we have to have a testimony. Well, I cannot live on your testimony, but I have to live on my testimony. And I have a testimony. And God have helped us in a great way in the Dominican Republic. I've been around. I remember when I was thinking this morning, and it was on my mind that I remember in the year 1985 when I became to pastor. I was in the African Methodist Episcopal Church, and I started my journey right there. I know God had called me to the ministry. And God was dealing with me. I was in charge of a business and a flea market. And, well, God was dealing with me to go to the ministry. And I was running from it. I didn't want to, you know, be a pastor. I thought that I was better off being, you know, an evangelist. Going here and there and preaching, and then, you know, after a weekend or whatever, come back, go to work, and, you know, keep busy doing what I was doing. But God kept dealing with me. Remember a night when I was, I understood really that God was dealing with me to go into the pastoring ministry. I had a dream at a time that I was out in a field, and in that field I was in the middle of two fields. One of them was I saw a number of cows and cattle and all kind of, you know, cattle, just, you know, there was very skinny, and they wasn't eating much, and they didn't have no pasture where they was, and they was very hungry, and they was, you know, they had no food. And I was looking at them. I stood there looking at them, and I was
you know, wondering why they don't have no food, and I felt pricked in my heart, and I then to my right side was another field that, you know, was surrounded with wires. Then it had a lot of nice, you know, green grass. And I opened the gate of it, and then I went and I opened the other gate, and I drove all those animals into that field. And when I drove them into there, they began to jump up, and they were so happy and eating grass. They was so excited. And when I saw that, I was so glad in my heart. And so when I woke up, I said, my God. I said, God, you're calling me to the ministry to be a pastor. I don't know if I'm ready for it yet. I just was like only 27 years old. I had just got married, and, you know, I wanted to do some more things. But God kept dealing with me, and that I understood that God was calling me into the ministry. 3 months later, there was that church where I was a member of, and they changed the pastor, and there was no other pastor, a trained pastor. I was, by that time, I was in the Bible seminar. Well, they appointed me minister and gave me an appointment, and I was going to pastor a church, and I pastored it for like 8 or 9 years. But I went through a lot. I had no experience in the ministry. And whenever I had a problem, I called God. And God helped me. All the time I went through something, I thought that my former pastor, he would help me some. I thought some of the older minister will help me some. But, you know, some of them was puffed up. Some was jealous and all kind of thing like that. And how, you know, I thought that in church, in the ministry, you know, when you was a Christian person, I thought you didn't have no, you know, these kind of struggles like envious and jealousy, and people didn't lie, people didn't do some things in church. You know, I thought in church everybody was good. I mean, in the Dominican Republic, though. So I thought everybody in church was good, you know. I had no strives and things like that. But later down the road, I found out that, you know, even Christian men and Babylonian leaders can be very tricky. And they can be very envious. And that was a great test for me. And it was something great for me. And I thought about it. And I suffered a lot in my soul and in my spirit. But sometime, once in a while, I wanted to give up and go back. But always I felt like God was pulling on me. And God was dealing with me. Whenever I prayed and I called upon God, whenever I had any kind of problem or any kind of a situation in the ministry, I didn't know where to call or who to turn to. Different here than when I found this way of the body of Christ, that I go through some things. I have a friend, and you know where I can call. I have a friend in the base. Yeah, I'm in the base tonight. And I can call up there, you know. Well, I know that Jesus is on the main line and I can call him anytime. And I have called upon him, and I can tell you, he never have failed me in the way. I went through many storms in this life, and I went through many situations and circumstances of life. And well, sometime I thought when it's finished here, and I thought that this was the end of it. Well, then God showed up, and he always been there for me. So I appreciate God, and I cannot, you know, I don't have nowhere else to go. This is the way God have led me, and I'm so excited. And I'm glad for this way. So I found this way, and I really found my mama. When you found the body of Christ, you found your mama. Hallelujah. I was being taken care of by a stepmama. But I found my real mama. So I appreciate God, and I thank him for leading me this way to this great family, to the body of Christ. I'm not saying that here we are there already and that we are perfect already and that have probably maybe no stripes and things like that, but this is a way that we have some principles. We have orders. And God is a God of order. God is a God of principle. Hallelujah. You see, I've been telling Brother Smith once in a while, I say, in Babylon, they don't have no order. They don't have no principle. But here we have principle. And I like the, you know, appreciate the order what we got in here. And how God have helped us in how we work out things together, how we work out our ways, and how God helps us. I remember I was in, I never can forget, I went to my second conference of the African Methodist and Episcopal Church. I believe it was in Shepherdville, Kentucky, year 1996. And I saw the way how, you know, they do things. And they do politics. Sometime I will be grieving in my spirit. The way how man can, you know, run over another man, over his brother, just to get his way to get to the top, to get a position. So I thought that that wasn't the love of God. And we was in that great big auditorium, and you know, there was like, I can say maybe like, maybe 8 to 12,000 people, and we was delegation from all over the world and from the Caribbean. I was one of the chief leader delegates. I was a ministerial delegate. And obviously, I had to do some translation for some of the ministers, the pastors in the Dominican Republic in a special area. And once we had a debate, you know, in that when we go out, when they go out there, it's different than when we have meetings. We have meetings here is to study the Word of God and to thresh out the Word of God, to learn. Then it's different over there. Then over there, you know, they go out to legislate all kind of different laws and different doctrines, etc. So then that day was a big debate. And these people will hollow. And, you know, it was an auditorium like, you know, it took all this. I don't know how they prepared these auditoriums. You know, a big block. big building, and every district was 18 districts or 19, I believe. And every district we had, the crew of people, and had those microphones and those bishops all up there in the podium, the sector, and had one bishop one day and another time in different period of time, or, when they take a break time, a bishop will probably preside the section. And I don't remember the debate, what it was about. It was a terrible debate, had to do with finances and things like that. And it was hot for a while. Then after it got a little cool, there was a youth delegate from one of the state, I believe, from, I cannot remember if it was from Mississippi, somewhere around. Then he got on the microphone somewhere far away from where I was, and he called upon the presiding bishop. He tells the bishop, "Bishop," he say, "who is calling me?" Say, "I'm from the 12th district. I got something to say." He say, "Speak out, son." And he say, "Well, Bishop, I want to say today that I always was proud of this great African Methodist Episcopal Church, one of the largest and greatest in America. And I've heard about it. I've been in church all my life. And I've heard all the thing what is taking place. And always I wanted to come and be a part and be a delegate to the General Conference, which was for me something very special." But he said, "Today, Bishop, I feel ashamed of the way how you bishops and the father of the church conduct themselves, and the way how you do things and you deal with things, and I'm ashamed of you all." Oh my God. Was a so slap in the face without hand. But they're serpents, and they know good answers and way how to do things. I say, "Well, son, congratulations." "Congratulations for, the way that you have, the courage to stand up and speak out. Good for you. I believe you're a great, bright young man." But people, he's a young man, and, I know how you feel. But he's a young man. So that there was another pastor stood up, by the way, and said, "Bishop," he say, "where are you, Reverend?" He say, "Speak out." Say, "I want to tell you to put the press out of here, the recorders, and let them get out of here, for they not to see the way how we get naked and we get naked in here." The bishop say, "Well, Reverend, leave the press in here, so they can see how we can get naked and how can we dress. We get dressed up again." So leave them in there. Oh God. But I thank God for this way. God have brought me to a great way, to great people at the beginning. When God opened my eyes to this, I had a lot of dilemmas, and I had a lot of dilemma. I have a lot of doubts. I had a lot of struggles. I had a lot of pride yet. God was working in my life. You know, I had to learn how to mingle my spirit. And that wasn't a slogan of the body. It said, watch the spirit. Watch your spirit. Well, I was, you know, when I came around, I went to different areas. I saw a lot of sometimes black people, which made me feel a little comfortable. In another area, I went and I saw white people, which made me afraid. You know, but as the time passed, there was, I believe it was in 2008, I believe, I was in one of our meetings in the campground, and in the Dominican Republic, I met a lady, which I drove her around when Brother Smith met me in the Dominican Republic. I was getting a taxi driver at one of these resorts. And I had drove this lady around. I believe she's from Indiana. I don't know. I don't remember exactly. You remember Brother Smith? Ruth Tucholsky, her name was. Well, I told her that I will be going to the campground and where I was, where it was in Shepherdsville, Kentucky. She said, I would like to go and see what you guys are doing over there. She's a white lady. She's, I believe, Episcopal. I believe from the Episcopal Church. Well, she stayed in a hotel, and she thought that she would, you know, it would be good for she to go over there, see what we're doing, and drive me around since I, you know, she was so glad that I took her around in the Dominican Republic. Well, she went there, and she stayed, I believe, 2 days, and she looked at what we was doing there, and she looked at the ministry, the people, and she was very impressed the way she asked me. I don't know, I cannot understand how white people, white folks and black folks and people of all color can, you know, work together in the way and the discipline, in the good manner and the good way how you conduct yourselves. That's very impressive for me. I never seen something like that before. So God helped me to see the spirit of the body of Christ. It's different. So I appreciate God for it. So in here, you know, then later on, I began to learn how to, you know, work on my enemy. We know in Babylon, you know, we said, they told us we got an enemy. It's true. Well, I who have an English Bible? I don't have a Spanish Bible, an English Bible with me. But I have my probably Spanish Bible with me tonight. I might, you know, just I'm testifying and might give you a in my testimony, I might give you, you know, a few scriptures of how God have helped me overcome, you know, get to where I am. There was many things in my life that I needed to overcome them. And well, I thought that I had some kind of source of enemy that outside of me, but you know, made me do some things. This morning, Brother Smith talked or said something about the spider. you know, we all men, we have a fallen nature, the fallen nature of Adam. And I had to find out and learn who was my enemy. Where is my enemy? You know, what are the resources what my enemy have. How large is, how big is my enemy? He's where he's hidden at. And, how to overcome him. You have to know about your enemy. There is a scripture I want to give you, one of my favorite scripture, that's in the book of 2 Samuel. That's the chapter 12. You can look at it that's the beginning with the first verses. Chapter Samuel, 2 Samuel, chapter 6, what talks about when God sent Nathan to David. And the verse 2, he says, there was in a city a rich man and a poor man. And he says here that the rich had many sheep. Oh, yeah. The rich man had exceeding many flocks. See the also the second, the third verse. But the but the poor man had nothing but save one of a little ewe lamb, which he had, but he had bought and nursed it up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. Okay, let's go to the next verse. Yes, sir, please.
And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock and of his own herd.
I need for you to point out that word here, a traveler.
There came a traveler.
A traveler.
Mm-hmm.
Point out this word here.
To the rich man.
To the rich man came a traveler. Let's go on.
And he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress of the wayfaring man that was coming to him. That was the traveler.
Yes.
But took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him.
They say here, the traveler, and then it talks also about a man who also visit the rich man. I'm just trying to help you see or understand that, make a point. Here is a traveler, talks about a traveler, and also a man who came unto the rich man. Okay, so then what it says? The verse that was ending the fourth verse, then the fifth verse.
And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die."
Mm-hmm. The verse 6 also.
And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity.
Mm-hmm. Then the verse 7.
And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul.
You see here, David, he made his own judgment. So there is another scripture I want you to see with this. Maybe I might give you another others. There is a scripture in the Psalm 55. Psalm 55, let's see that verse 12 through 14.
It says, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him.
Mm-hmm.
But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and my acquaintance. He took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company."
Yeah, that's the verse 14, right, Brother Smith?
Mm-hmm.
So, who was he? So you see, it was that the inner man. That was his enemy. See, that was David's old man, that certain man, that visitor, that visit him, the fallen nature of Adam. See, he didn't, when in 1 and 2 Samuel, he didn't say that it was somebody else. He said it was you. He said, "You are that man. You are that traveler. You are that visitor." So here in Psalm 55 is saying who a little bit more is talking about who more it is. It's that inner man, that carnal mind. So God help me to understand and see and know where my enemy was. So one day, Brother Smith, I've thought of so many things. You know, at the beginning, when we began to preach this message about the four phases of evil, my God have mercy, this was a sharp sword, what we had in our hand. We was equipped, but we did a lot of damage. We cut a lot of people. We did a lot of damage with that sword. But later on, you know, God have helped us to have more wisdom. And, you know, in answering question, I told a man at time, I said, he asked me, you know, about the subject of the devil, of Satan. I said, well, I didn't want to say that openly, that, you know, the devil and, you know, the dragon and all these things, the four phases of evil, had to do with mankind, had to do with the fallen nature of Adam. But, yes, I told him, I say, yes, the carnal mind is the vehicle what, you know, the devil or Satan uses to perform his work. You see, evil, you know, the force of evil, how evil is bound. It's a mystery. You know, you have to deal and know your enemy. And even today, you know, even though we know our enemy, we know this four phases of evil, yet we know it. Sometimes we be driven by our emotion, by our carnal mind. Still, we can be led and used by it. It's a mystery. It's terrible. how we know it. We know that our carnal mind, fallen nature of Adam, can disturb us, can lead us to another direction. God helped me understand. A day I was thinking, I thought in here, as I was saying in the beginning, that everybody, when I came to church and I came to, you know, to Christianity, I thought that in here, you know, had no jealousy, had no fight, no envious, no strife. But finally I found out, you know, in Galatians chapter 5, verses from the 19 through 21, all the works of the flesh. And then I found out, I say, my God, so all these things isn't man. And man have to, you know, work his way out to die out to this thing. In order for we to mate the bride, we're gonna have to die out to the old man, to the carnal mind. So I thought that here that everybody was, you know, in the Dominican Republic over there, everybody was pure, good, no strifes. I found out that it's not so. It's not true. That still people in church can lie, can cheat, can do all kind of things. And they church. People in church even can live in adultery and fornication and do all kind of things in church, being in church. What makes me understand is that sometimes that we still don't know our enemy. Our enemies is the one who's hindering us from making the bride into, you know, live a dedicated life, a Christian life. And it's terrible. It's hard. Many people. And sometimes I say, my God. But what I wanted to tell you is that I found out, and God helped me understand. You know what? That you can have this message, you can have the principles of God, you can have the understanding of the Word of God in your mind. You can know about it, but at the same time, don't have it in your spirit. You don't have it in your character, in your being, in your action. People can know this. I've seen people, you know, they can have a lot of understanding and knowledge of the Word of God, and still they can do crooked things. They still can do wrong things. And, you know, God have helped me see and know that I have to work. You know, my battle is not with my brother, it's with me. It's, I have to work in my life. And sometimes it's better for you to see other people's faults rather than see your faults. That's terrible. So I've been working on it. I've been working on not only, you know, teaching people, not only counseling people, but I've been working in my life. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to make the bride. And I'm working. And it costed me some things. You know, it's a sacrifice. What is there is a scripture in Romans chapter 12, brothers, and the first three verses of that, of Romans chapter 12, Brother Schmidt, will somebody help me read that scripture in Romans chapter 12? I know this is a subject, brothers and sisters, that you probably have heard it over and over. But I learned from Brother Smith that in the body, once in a while is important or is good for you to go over these things again. Sometimes, you know, we get away from it. We forget sometimes who we are, where we come from, where we are, where we are going. So we are on a journey. We are on a way. You see, this morning, as we come here, we was in service. We was in one place in God. But this evening we come, we are in somewhere else. We are going. You can, it's not talking about walking or running a race, but it's running a race. You can be right there. You can be sitting there, and you can be running the race. And you can be walking. You can be going on. You can be learning and learning the principles of God. You can be learning the word of God. You can be following Jesus. Jesus told Peter, he said, follow me. He said, follow me. So God is seeking for a people. According to Revelation chapter 14, he said, I saw the Lamb sitting upon the Mount Zion with him 144,000. And they had the name of his name written on his forehead. And these are virgins that followeth the Lamb wherever so he goeth. Wherever he goeth. You see, God is calling a people, you know, to follow him. You see, brothers and sisters, God is going to deal with a people, and a people who's going to make the bride of Christ is a people who can trust God, who have faith in God, and who obey God. You see, one of the way how you're gonna enter into God's kingdom. One of the way for you to get wherever God have to be an obedient person. You see, obedient is a great thing. God called Abraham. I remember my own scripture in Romans chapter 12. I don't forget it. Help me remember it. But he called Abraham. He said, Abraham, leave your land and leave your family and go to a land where I'm going to show you. Well, I don't know, you know, what happened, but Abraham, he made up his mind and he made plans and, you know, everything that he had, he left. He left his land and he went to the land what God showed him. Hallelujah. And probably, you know, his father, his cousin Lot went with him. And probably in the way he said, they said to him, he said, Abraham, what time are we going to get there? He said, well, I don't know. He said, when are we going to get there? When? He said, I don't know. Hallelujah. See, it's sometimes it's difficult to follow a leader that he don't know what he's doing or where he's going. This probably was difficult for Abraham. But he said, they asked him probably, hey, when are we going to get there? What time? Where it is? I don't know. This is faith. This is to trust God. God is calling a people that who can trust in God, who can fear God, who can serve God. Don't matter what, it's a price to pay, to be obedient, to go this way. This is a way of the cross. This is a way, you know, you have to be obedient. You have to trust God. You have to have faith in God. Hallelujah. It's not easy sometimes. Our hills sometimes be so hard to climb. And things are gets hard, rough in the way. But let me tell you, we're serving a great God. We're serving a God that we can trust in him. Don't matter what. Don't matter your strife. Don't matter your circumstances of life. God is a great and faithful God. He won't fail you, never. So I can trust in God. Sometimes we can say it, but sometimes with our action, we don't believe in God. We don't trust God enough. Sometimes we trust more than, you know, in man. We trust more than our, you know, bosses, our jobs and thing here in life. Sometimes It's difficult to trust God. Sometimes people get so comfortable in their own life, they don't trust God enough. But let me tell you today, we can trust God anytime. In chapter 12, the first three verses or four, what it says, hallelujah. I'm not going to keep you here too long, but I feel excited tonight.
Says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice.
Living sacrifice. Yes, sir.
Come holy, on. Acceptable unto
holy,
God,
acceptable.
Which is your reasonable service.
Which is your reasonable.
Be so, not conformed to this world.
See, present, I beseech you, my brother, for you to present, we to present to God ourselves on a living sacrifice. See, sacrifice. You think it's easy? It's sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. We have a sacrifice, and a sacrifice, you have cry, you have pain, you have the shed of blood, and you have a knife. And you know what God is going to do? In order for you to cut your head off, he's gonna put the knife in your hand. Take the knife in your hand. Cut your head off. It's easy for you to cut your head off. What is your head? When you understand, you see, when you understand the word of God, that's the knife. It's a two-edged sword. And when you understand the plan of God, you're going to have to cut your head off and say, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. Hallelujah. Your will, you have, down in the Dominican Republic, have big-headed people and hard-headed people too. Hallelujah. Thank God over here don't have much, no, not many. But I'm saying this for in case, you know. People want to do their own thing. They all have their own way. But, you know, I want to go God's way. I want to work right. And I want to work right. I want to do what's right. I want to do what's just. Not only I say that I want to do it, I have to do it. I have to work at it. I have to practice it. See, many people, they know a lot of theory, but it's little practice. You have to practice. You have to go practice. You have to practice this. Yeah. So, it's a sacrifice. Sometime, my old man want to raise up. Be here, be 2 weeks here, here in Brother Smith's house, 2 weeks, doing nothing. It's a sacrifice for me. And I was praying to God one of these nights. I said, God, I thank you. Even though my flesh don't want me to be here, but you want me to be here. God have a purpose. What is it? I don't know. God allowed me to be here. For some reason, I'm here. And I pray to God, help me. There is a lot of things to do in the Dominican Republic. You know, a lot of work to do. I have a lot of things to take care of. We have bills to pay, just like you do. And I'm here sitting somewhere and doing nothing. It's a sacrifice. Sometimes my old man revolts, and I say, wait a minute. Quiet. Hallelujah. It's not easy. It's not easy. It's a sacrifice. It's not only to say it, but we are working. We are working on our lives, working on your enemy. You have to know who's your enemy. Your enemies, your carnal mind. Your enemies, your Adam nature, the fallen nature of man. That's your greatest enemy. And I don't have to, you know, go over so many scriptures and words and tell you so much more, because you already know it. You know these scriptures. You know what, you know the four faces of evil. You know where they are. You know how they work. You see? But only I just wanted to remind you tonight. Sometime when, you see, to build the body of Christ, it takes a hand. It takes a ministry. You see, that's why here we believe that. You know, we believe in the fivefold ministry. We believe in apostles. We believe in prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We believe in the hand. It's not a, you know, is the hand what's going to wash the body? Is the hand what's going to bathe and clean the body? You cannot wash the hand, the body, with one finger. That's why we believe in the ministry. We believe in the people. So in all together, a fivefold ministry, says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11. It's for the perfecting of the saints. This ministry. And it's to work on you. And we have to, you know, work. And, you know, we have to work. Work hard. Work on your life. So many things we don't like. But if you're going to make the bride, we're going to have to work on these things. You're going to have to work on your life. There are things in your life that you haven't been able to overcome. You know, in the Dominican Republic, you know, I have some Christians that they can still curse and still do all kind of things. One day I saw a brother, you know, cussing his child. I said, "Oh, God have mercy. You backslid it?" He said, "No." I said, "Right now you did." "Right now you did." You know, you have to be in check. If you're not in check, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself doing something what you will say, "My God, did I do this?" Yes. So Adam is, that fallen nature is sneaky and it's tricky, like a serpent, that serpent nature. And if you're not careful, you'll be doing something. But let me see if I read you one more scripture in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5 and on. Brother Smith, you in the Dominican Republic, I help you now. You help me. You know.
It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart."
Uh-huh.
"And lean not unto thine own understanding."
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. That's Adam. That's your understanding. You know, some people don't like counseling. Some people, you see, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, when you have a witness or you have one or more person, brothers or sisters, or especially, specifically your pastor, and you tell him what you're doing. If you have, not here, but in the Dominican Republic, if you have, you know, these young girls, sometimes they have some young boys comes around. Even some men, some young men. Well, you have to go through the door. There are some sisters in the church. When they know about somebody trying to come around, they say, remember, you have to enter through the door. Don't go up through the window. You know, in the multitude of counselor is safety. You see, when you look for counsel, you seek for counsel, you're telling God, well, I want to do what's right. When you do it on your own way, you're telling God, you say, I know my way. I can do it. Me, myself. I don't need your help. Well, you're probably not saying it literally, but that's your attitude. That's what you're saying. And you want to have your own way. You don't need nobody's counsel. And specifically when, you know, the serpent nature raises up, specifically when you have a need. That way the carnal mind is great when you have a need. And it serves it to you just the way how you like it and you want it. You know, it puts it everything easy. But just take a knife, take a machete, wherever you take and shop it, and go to your pastor, go to mom or dad, say, Dad, I have this young boy coming around, or this young girl. You know, don't have your way in the multitude of counsel. Have safety. Have a safe place in this place, brothers. You believe I have a safe place here? Yes, I believe that. I believe it's a safe place. Hallelujah. And I trust in this ministry. And I trust in the people of God. I trust. Hallelujah. So lean on, not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. See. Hallelujah. And you love God today. We're serving a great God. We're serving a wise God. You know, sometimes we people commit mistakes. Sometimes it's because we don't listen to the counsel of God. We don't listen to the counsel of the ministry, to God, the counsel of God people. It's dangerous when you just go out there and you don't have a hedge. But here we have a hedge in here. Hello, you're here tonight. I appreciate God. What the next verse says, Brother Smith? The verse 6.
In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path.
Uh-huh. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. Acknowledge him. The ministry. There was a sister in church heard me say, well, I cannot do some things without talking to Brother Smith. She said, what? She didn't say nothing after a time when she understood better this way. And she understood better this. She had a better vision. She said, now I understand why you said you'd have to talk to Brother Smith. I thought for myself, I say, it's Brother Smith is God? Why do you have to talk to Brother Smith? Do it your way. Just pray to God. I said, well, that's not the way sometimes it works. God can talk to you, but he will use a counselor. He will use a minister to talk to you. Well, and specifically if you have another witness. In the mouth of two or more witnesses, something is confirmed. If you have the confirmation of your minister, you have the confirmation of your elder, and you have the confirmation of God overall, you're better off. Isn't that right? Yes. So that's order. So what's the next verse says, Brother Smith?
Says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil.
That verse, that sixth verse, I want to go back to that sixth verse, Brother Smith. It talks about he will lead your path.
In all ways, acknowledge him.
Yes.
And he'll direct that path.
We have in our Spanish Bible, it says he will straighten your path. I believe the things is, it probably is about the same thing. Here he will lead or he will straighten. I use this word here to straighten your path. You know what I said to people and I say to say now is that your own path is crooked. It's crooked like a serpent. Your own ways. Your own understanding, your own things, the way how you do your own thing. And you have your own understanding. So your own understanding, your self-understanding, your own is crooked. That's why you need to lean on the Lord. That's why you have to seek God. Not do the thing your own way. It's difficult for sometimes people don't know the ways of God. The principles of God. We have to practice. And one time our counseling with somebody have said, Everything in your life have failed. You know why? You have violated so many principles of life. But if you wise and you understand, I counsel you to put away your own ways and try the ways of God. Try these ways instead of your ways. Because your ways have failed. Your ways have put you in a lot of trouble. Your own way will put you in a lot of trouble. Children, it's good to talk to mama, to dad, to the pastor. Don't do your own thing. This world, we live in an evil world. We're living in some evil days when the forces of sin, the forces of darkness and wickedness in this world have raised up and is very strong and powerful and have a lot of influence over young people and even over older people, even over the people of God. Brother Smith said this morning in the tale of the dragon, it drew a third part of the stars of heaven. Well, a third part of the stars, the stars, her ministers, heaven, that heavenly place, have people who are in heavenly places. In false doctrine, false prophets have deserved them, have drew them from that high place in God. You can be driven away by the world, condition of sin, this sinful world, this sinful nature will put you in a lot of trouble. We have a lot of precious people. We be sometimes sorry how the world can influence in our young people and our children, how schools and this world, this wicked world, have had such influence on our young people. But I thank God for some young people, some people that they have remained and they have this word of God way down in the bottom of their heart. They trust God. They fear God. They serve in God. What a blessing to serve God. Let me see if that Psalm 119, I believe, is the verse. There is two verses I need. Probably it's the verse 5 and verse 9. Let me see. Help me, you all.
Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes.
What verses? What you?
5.
Uh-huh.
Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments.
Yes. In that verse 9, Brother Schmidt.
Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?
Uh-huh.
By taking heed thereto according to thy word.
Amen. What a young man that clean his ways by taking heed to his word. And young men have old people who young men too. We need to take heed to the word of God. Sometimes we fail in the way by not taking heed to the word of God. But yes, read the verse 10 too.
Verse 10 says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments.
Amen. With thy whole
heart. Then it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
Sin against thee. Hallelujah. The word of God. Young people, it's a blessing. In school, wherever you are, listen to the word of God. The word of God will clean your way. The word of God will clean your life. It's a cleaning element. It can wash you. The word of God can clean and wash. You started me off on that verse now. I'm going back to Proverbs later, but look at the chapter 36 of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25, 26, and 27. Look what it reads. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse
25.
25.
Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean.
I will sprinkle clean water
from
upon
all your
you.
Idols will I cleanse you.
You know, not only, you see, an idol. What is an idol? I know we are not idolaters in here. But in the Dominican Republic, have people that they are in church and they are idolaters. You know, your job, your car, your wife, your husband, that child, something in your life can be an idol for you. You people just put some excuses to not to serve God and to do what they have to do, even to come to church. You know what God gave me? You know, upon this understanding, God gave us revelation. I've heard Brother Smith talk about that, but I have my own experience on it. God can give you a revelation on that foundation. Like, for example, I found out and God showed me in the Psalm 20. We're going to go back to Ezekiel, but look at the Psalm chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. Hallelujah. What it reads, brother.
The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble.
The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble.
The name of God of Jacob defend thee.
In the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. And what else?
Send thee help from the sanctuary and
will send you
thee out of Zion.
Help from the sanctuary and from Zion what?
Strengthen thee.
Will strengthen thee from Zion. You see, you know what God showed me in this verse, Smith? That the house of God is Zion. Well, we know that. You already know, but God helped me understand that it's in Zion where God have the banquet. Here where the big meal is. Here where the sanctuary is. You know, you have a sanctuary in your life. You know, your life is a sanctuary. Your life is a temple. And when we all come together, it happens what says in the Psalm 133, behold how good and how pleasant for brothers and sisters to dwell together in harmony. See, when we come together, when we sing the songs of Zion, you cannot make your own altar. You cannot make your own service at your house. In your house, it have a lot of trouble. In your home, sometimes we have a battlefield. Sometimes at home, we have what we have continuously fighting. That happens at home. But when you come to Zion, here where the banquet is, here where God is going to sustain you, here where God is going to feed you and give you the food for the week coming in to help you. He's going to give you the resources for you to be able to overcome, to go on in the forces of darkness, in trouble and tribulation with the word of God. If you stand on the word of God, you see, people in the Dominican Republic, I tell them, I said, this is the house of God. It's not a club. You know, it can be, people can see the house of God or the church like a club where they go pass the time, eat, drink, and play and wonder and do things. No, no, no. Here is not a club. If you come and looking at it, this place like a club, you're in the wrong place. Now, in here, we mean business. And here, we are on a job. We're on a way to Zion. We're on a way to the promised land. We are striving to make the bride. This is not a game. You have to work. This is serious. It's not a joke. You have to mean business in here. Oh, bro. Excuse me, maybe I'm getting too excited and hollering on you. And oh, hallelujah. But I'm excited tonight. And from Zion, he will sustain thee from Zion. Here where the big meal is. And here where the banquet is. And here, home is a continuation. You have to take this word. You have to take the meal, the food, the praises. You have to take it home with you. Take it to your children. People sometimes, when even in the Dominican Republic, we even sometimes have a prayer at home. The children at home. Hallelujah. Glory. We have to stay on the job. This is the main thing. This is the pearl of great price. If you believe, if there is something what you have here in life, here on this earth, what is similar to this gospel, well, I believe you lost your vision. There is nothing even look like this. Well, the things down here is, you know, probably for your benefit and for your natural blessings. But this word of God, this gospel, this truth, this vision, this place is something great. There are eternal things. Hallelujah. Glory, I'm on my way. I love this way. And you know, all the things there, I believe as the scripture said, it don't matter all what you go through, all the suffering of life is not compared to the great things of God. Don't matter the suffering, what you go through in life, it's not compared to this price, to this pearl of great price. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I love him today. Hallelujah. I got a great hope for what I'm striving for. Glory to God. Even though have we going through some things in life, hey, it don't matter. Well, we know the systems of man, but we know God is in the Dominican Republic. He's everywhere. Hallelujah. And he's a great God. You know, God knows where you live. He knows your name. He knows your address. He knows what you're going through. Hallelujah. He's just waiting for you to call upon him. Don't matter what situation you're going through. You know, you can pray to God and God know how to do something. Not some, all things. God can do all things. You can call him. You can call him. Jesus, there is a song, I believe, in Babylon. Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. Call him now. You can call him anytime. Hallelujah. Oh, you can call him. You can trust him. He's a great God. Hallelujah. Get on your knee. Pray sometime. Sometimes people pass time. They don't even pull their Bible at home. Pull your Bible. Read the Word of God. Talk to God. Pray to God. Tell him your needs. Tell him what you're going through. Sometimes there are some husbands, but they are very difficult to understand and to get along with. Some in the Dominican Republic, though, not over here. Some women are so, too. Sometimes we have to pray to God. Say, God, help me. Help me with this wife, with this man. And pray to God. God can help you. God can give you the wisdom, the understanding. Sometimes it's a matter that we can, you know, stop a little while and take a little time. We have so many times to see all kind of things in life, movies, soap operas, gyms, and everything in life. Just we got 2 hours, couple times a week to come to church. You have how many hours a week have? 52, how much, 48, 52, what? No, more than that. How much? Yeah, 106 days, that's a lot of hours. How many hours you come to church? We come to church for how many hours? 2 times a week or 3 times? Let's say in 36 hours, you come and serve God, let's say 10 hours, which you don't normally do. 8 at the most. What we have to do in this, I'm going to give you a little understanding, but I'm going to suggest here. Give God your tithes. Not on your money. I know you're a good tither. I know people don't, you know, fail with that. They don't play around with that. Many people in here, they give their tithes. And if you're not giving your tithes, God will begin to do it. God gave you $100. All is not yours. Just 90 of it is yours. 10 is for God. If you didn't know that and you don't have that in your principle, just begin to put that in your principle. Okay? But in your time frame, 126 hours, give God the 10% of that. Begin to tithe. Have a time of prayer and Bible study at your home with your children. take this principle, take this preaching, take these meetings, and begin to rehearse them, begin to look them over. The sermon of the pastor, the preaching of Brother Smith, of these ministers, good preachers, those testimonies, take them with you and rehearse them. See, take the good part out of it and apply it to your life. It takes time to go over the scriptures and do some rehearsing and some more studying of the Word of God. That will make you be better people. Will make you, you know, will make you have more patience. Will make you love more. Be more meeting, more kind. Sometimes the flesh, we have to mortify the flesh with the Word of God and the testimony and the songs of Zion. Sometimes you have to take those songs, learn them, and sing at home while you're doing some things at home. Hallelujah. Isn't that something good, brothers? Yes, it is. Oh, we was, he said in Zion, you have to come to Zion, here where the main banquet is. And here where all the different foods and milk and drinks. For you to come and eat and drink and nourish your soul, nourish your spirit for the rest of the week. Amen? So let's go back, Brother Schmidt, to Ezekiel chapter 36. We read already verse 25. We're going to read verse 26.
A new heart also will I give you.
I will give you so and also a new heart.
And a new spirit will and I a new put spirit. Within you.
Sir?
And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh.
Yes.
Give you
stop
a heart
there
of flesh.
A little bit, Brother Smith. Don't take me too fast. I have to go a little slow here. We say in the Dominican Republic, take me in two gear, not in ten, at five. You're going too fast. Take me in two and second. Oh, hallelujah. See, you know, they have some people that they are they have stony hearts that they cannot grasp, understand, apply the Word of God. Be tender. Be soft. Have people that they so hard they never will weep even. They strong. But you have to do something to the flesh. At least when you humble yourself and you come down and you do a little weeping, that will do something to your spirit. Do something to Adam. See, don't be so hard. So hard, so strong. But I will take away the stony heart. You know that God is a cardiologist? How many of you know that God is a cardiologist?
Cardiologist, a heart doctor.
Yes, a heart doctor. That's what God is. He can change that. He will say, I'll take away that stony heart. And what else he'll do, Brother Smith?
Put in you, take that out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh and put my spirit within
you. See, a tender heart. Then I will put my spirit. The spirit of Jesus. The spirit of God. We need that spirit of God in our life. To soften up our character, our spirit. No, can soften us up, make us tender to the things of God, and help us be more emotionally to the thing of God, and open up more, and be easy for the Word of God to be planted in our hearts, in our lives, and be better Christian. Have more like the character of Jesus. love, you know, to be more merciful, be more tender, more gentle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you're excited about what God can do in our lives? And I'm going to read that last scripture, and I'm going to finish with that other one in Proverbs, and I'm going to get out of your way. There is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26.
That he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word.
You see, to sanctify and to cleanse you by the washing of what?
Of the water of the word.
Of the word. Cleanse you with the washing of the water of the word of God. Here is, it includes the water, the spirit, and the word of God. What is going to clean you? What is going to clean us of all our fallen nature, our bad attitude sometimes. Sometimes I tell people you have your soul. It's like when you go to church, it's like when you go to the laundry, you have to go and put all these dirty clothes and wash them, put them into a washing machine. You're in the laundry tonight. Here we're working on your soul, working on your spirit, putting in your spirit the character of God. We have to wash. We have to be washed about a way of our filthiness, of bad attitude, bad things in the world, what can sprinkle your life, your soul. So today we have to wash, my God. And the next thing after you washing, you're going to have to iron. That's the next thing. And to iron, it takes fire. Take pressure. Take some pressure sometime. And finish Proverbs, man. Proverbs chapter 3. We're going through the 7th verse, and we end. We're going to end with that 7th verse, I believe. We're going to make it to the 8 and 9 verse, and I'm going to finish right there.
Be not wise in thy own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil.
That's what verse?
7.
Yes. Don't be wise in your own what?
Eyes.
In your own eyes. And our Spanish Bible says, in your own opinion. But here is in your own eyes. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Say what else?
Fear the Lord and depart from evil.
Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord.
It'll be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones.
Yeah. I said at time, if you fear the Lord, the fear of the Lord will deliver you from falling into temptation. Got that? If you fear the Lord, if you're going to do any wrong thing in life and you fear the Lord, that will deliver you from falling into temptation. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
That last verse said what, Rushman?
Honor the Lord with thy substance.
Uh-huh.
And with the first fruits of all thine increase.
Amen. Honor the Lord. What are people here to honor the Lord? Serve God. Hopefully, you remind He was reminded tonight about your enemy. Your enemy always is there. The bad thing about him, he sleep with you. He walk with you. He dwell with you wherever. He go with you wherever you go. My God, help me kill my enemy. Help me overcome my enemy. My God, have mercy. God, have mercy today and help us. If God don't help us, I don't know what would become of us. But God, help us overcome our enemy. In the name of Jesus. May God bless you. Maybe if I, hey, Mr. Smith, I got one more thing to do.
Okay.
Some of these children, they met up at me. My Little Rock Choir, they said, you know what? You come here many times and you haven't sung our song. So I need you to sing my song tonight. Whenever it is, whenever. You remember that song? Where are those girls and those boys? Where do they go?
All the young little children come up here and help Brother Green.
It says, remember that song said, a un lado la enfermedad, a un lado las malas finanzas, a un lado, you wanted me to sing your song? So, oh.
Come on.
Come on, girls. There you go.
Isabel, you and Elizabeth going to come? Come on and help them. You can do it. Come on.
There you go. You're gonna answer.
Come on, Hannah.
The chorus of it. You're going to say, y por eso, hallelujah, gloria a Dios. Jesus, come on. Rehearse a little bit. Y por eso, hallelujah, gloria a Dios. Jesucristo es el Señor. Y por eso,
hallelujah,
gloria a Dios. Jesucristo es el Señor. I'm going to sing the verses of it. You're going to have it. A un lado la enfermedad, a un lado las malas finanzas, a un lado lo que me daña, mi vida espiritual, pensamientos negativos a mi vida no podrán llegar, solo la palabra del Señor mi vida cambiará, y por eso...
Aside from my my infirmity and my finance, no matter what happens to me, things that are negative, only the Word of God has changed my life. That's why I say hallelujah, glory to God, Jesus Christ. He is the Lord.
Y por eso,
hallelujah.
Gloria a Dios. Jesús.
casa, a un lado lo que me daña, mi vida espiritual, pensamientos negativos a mi vida no podrán llegar. Solo la palabra del Señor mi vida cambiará. Y por eso, gloria a Dios, Jesucristo. Y por eso, no podrán llegar, solo la palabra del Señor mi vida cambiará. Y por eso,
touch of Dominican here tonight. In English, that is. God bless you. Shake hands and be friendly. I'll see you Wednesday night, 7 o'clock prayer meeting, 7:30 church.
What was that last?
God bless you.